The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by John. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not just Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his mother and father. How can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me is drawing him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'All shall be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him will come to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. And so I say to you, whoever believes already has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and never die. I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I give is my very flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. I was asked to write a blurb recently for a book, a very fine book by a biblical scholar. It's called Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes. There's 28 chapters, each one on a different character in the Bible. There isn't one on Elijah, whom we heard about in the first reading, but there well should be. But this wonderful author, Barbara Hosbach, makes the point that there's hardly a single character in the Bible who we would have canonized a saint. Everyone is a fool, a liar, a cheat, an adulterer. This all, I hope, gives us a lot of hope, because the people that God uses in the Bible are consistently like Elijah in this first reading. I hope you were listening. It was read very well. Elijah is being chased down by Jezebel, the queen. She doesn't like him. For good reason. He killed a bunch of the prophets who didn't agree with him. So he isn't really a very nice guy. He's killing other people. Now he's on the run from the law. So he runs a day's journey into the desert. He prays for death. He seems to have a death wish. "This is enough, Lord. Take my life." He lay down and fell asleep under the broom tree. Sounds like a pretty depressed man, doesn't he? Like many of us on the not-so-good days in our life. Then an angel comes. You'd think an angel would be enough to perk you up at least a little bit. But even that doesn't work. The angel tells him, "There's a hearth cake and a jug of water," and he eats and drinks, but goes back to sleep. Still seems to be clinically depressed. Now, mind you, this is Elijah the prophet. So I hope you're getting the message. God can use very unworthy instruments. It's all just a matter of learning how to trust and say yes. Those who believe that God could use them, even in their unworthiness, are used. It's that simple. And those who don't believe God could use them are not used. It's that terrible. But we all thought, you know, you had to sort of earn your keep. You had to offer all kinds of sacrifices and obey all kinds of commandments and go to all kinds of church services, and maybe God would use you. Well, I know a lot of people who are doing all of that and aren't very usable by God at all. You see, sometimes it's doing it wrong that makes you grow up. It's hitting the bottom, being depressed like poor Elijah, falling asleep under the broom tree, not even recognizing angels. And finally, he gets sick and tired of being sick and tired, as the alcoholics say. He hits the bottom. So the angel has to talk to him a second time and says, "Get up, eat, or the journey will be too long for you." The second time he seems to hear it. He's suffered enough, he's been lonely enough, depressed enough, maybe to finally know that he needs God. You see, God has to empty you out before he can fill you up. That's true of all of our lives. People who are too content or too comfortable with themselves usually aren't emptied out yet. Now, the second reading, really a beautiful text from Ephesians, gives us some hints of the food that we need to learn to eat. And it's a food of thinking kind thoughts and speaking kind words. It's so simple, it probably goes over most of our heads. The author says, "Don't grieve the Spirit of God." It's the only time this term is used in the New Testament. Grieving the Holy Spirit. He says, you are a temple of the Spirit, and the way you grieve that presence within you is by bitterness, anger, shouting, reviling. We should speak this to some of our politicians. This seems to be the name of the game today, to just yell. And you think if you yell louder, people are supposed to listen. And here he says, this is grieving the Holy Spirit. Be kind instead to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. And again, he uses a phrase that I'm not aware is anywhere else in the New Testament. He says, or she, who knows who wrote it, it might be a she, be imitators of God. How do you imitate God? Well, you can't imitate God unless you've been in some kind of interpersonal, interactive relationship with God. And then you know that God is compassionate, that God overlooks your faults, that God always lets you start again every day, fresh and new. God forgives anybody who's willing to be forgiven. That's the only requirement. You know, you say that in every Our Father. Our Father doesn't say, "I'll forgive you if you go to confession in the Catholic Church." He said, what you ask for is, "Forgive me as I have forgiven others." There's the primary sacrament of confession. And if you are an unforgiving person, then you are not imitating God. You don't know how to receive because you don't know how to give. You're not a channel. You're not an open instrument. You haven't been taught by God. So those who know how to receive forgiveness are identical with those who know how to give forgiveness. So this is the bread of heaven. This is what you have to learn to eat the life of God. And if you don't have a life with God, really, this hour on Saturday or Sunday probably isn't going to make up for it. I just got to be pretty honest. If you aren't living with your friend all week, then an hour on the weekend doesn't create a friendship. And that friendship has to be morning, afternoon, and night, like every true friend that you have. Then you know how to imitate God because you know what God is like. How God is a friend, is a companion, is someone who loves you more than you love yourself. Who forgives you more easily than you even know how to forgive yourself. Now, I can't prove that to you by giving it here in a sermon. You can Only know that yourself. All spiritual knowledge is first-hand knowledge. You have to learn it for yourself, know it for yourself, and no preacher, no scripture text can convince you of it. So we send you out again, another week of your life, another day on your journey, to meet the friend, to meet the God whom you now want to imitate. And you know what? You'll never catch up. God's love will always be out in front and better than your greatest attempts at love. That's the kind of God that you and I are trying to imitate.